After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In his book, Nature, Man, and God, Archbishop William Temple gave what must probably be one of the most inspirational explanations of what worship is. He said, "Worship is the submission of all our nature to God. It is the quickening of conscience by his holiness, the nourishment of mind with his truth, the purifying of the imagination by his beauty, the opening of the heart to his love, the surrender of will to his purpose, and all this gathered up in adoration, the most selfless emotion of which our nature is capable." Though perhaps for some of us, how far is this explanation from our own experience of worship at times? I wonder, how do we prepare ourselves for the kind of worship that is an encounter with the glory of God, who, as we read in the book of Revelation, says is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. "For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." In spite of our poor and inadequate ways to enter into the kind of worship of God that Archbishop Temple described, I'm also sure that all of us can recollect times when we have glimpsed God's glory, a deep sense of hope and of heaven, and in response to the invitation that we heard in our second lesson, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." In responding to this call to come up hither, John the Divine encountered the glory of God, the praises of the one enthroned, the unfathomable, holy, and almighty God, who brought the angels and elders to their knees in adoration. So worship is not about what I intend to do, but rather responding to the call of God. And to truly worship is to discover humility. As Temple said, all this gathered up in adoration, the most selfless emotion of which our nature is capable. Worship then is part of the calling to be fully human, to recognize God's image in ourselves, in myself, and to respond to the Creator with selfless adoration, the opposite of self-aggrandizement that our society encourages. Brother Roger of Taizé once said something like this: "Worship isn't an optional extra, something we only do because we feel like it, but because God desires it. The God who gives us life and in whose image we are loved and made." Participating in worship isn't a sort of negotiation or bargaining. It's God calling us into being with him, and not about giving worth to me, but giving worship to God. After all, that is what the old English word worship is all about, giving something worthy to another, worth-ship. And as we hear in Archbishop Cranmer's beautiful prayer before Holy Communion, a prayer we traditionally call the prayer of humble access, worship is not to be a self-edifying endeavour, but one that calls for us to give of our whole self, body, mind, and spirit, with humility, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Worship is therefore not intended simply to be a place set apart. Neither is it intended as a means of escape from the doldrums of everyday life in order to enter another world, as if through C.S. Lewis's secret door to Narnia. Rather, worship allows us in real time and in real places an opportunity to glimpse the divine, or as Orthodox Christians teach, for heaven and earth to touch. True worship, therefore, is a threshold where the glory of heaven is not simply glimpsed from afar, but encountered. Thresholds, gates and doorways are prominent images and metaphors throughout Scripture, and notably in the book of Revelation. Similarly, in our churches and sacred spaces, they are not just of architectural merit or even functional, but like those same images in Scripture, they are also symbolic of a connection between the human and divine, between earth and heaven. We cross thresholds and through doorways into church in the same spirit that St. John the Divine saw an open door in heaven and the invitation to cross the threshold. In the preceding chapter to today's reading, the image of the door as a path to the heart is also explored. When I was very young, in the 1970s, one of my most memorable services I ever attended was in St. Paul's Cathedral in London. It drew me to a very special painting in a chapel behind the high altar. Painted in 1904, it is the third, and some say most significant, version of a painting by William Holman Hunt. Hunt's painting is titled The Light of the World, and it's one of the most viewed 20th century pieces of art in the world, at least some would say. In the painting, Jesus stands outside a door that is faintly lit by a lantern he is holding in his hand. He is knocking on the door. This allegorical image contains many layers of meaning and has been described as a sermon in a frame. But when I first saw it as a child, what was most startling was the fact that the door has no handle on the outside. Jesus was standing at the door, knocking, but he needed someone on the other side of the door to actually open it. How open is the door of your heart to glimpse heaven and to participate in the call to come hither and enter into worship with true, selfless adoration? As we all approach Lent, may we together respond to that invitation, come up thither, and invite others to do the same. May we all be more prepared to encounter true wonder, love, and praise, not only in what we sing with our lips, but what we believe in our hearts and show forth in our lives. I conclude with a prayer by Bishop Thomas Ken, who died in 1711. Let us pray. O God, make the door of this house wide enough to receive all who need human love and fellowship, but narrow enough to shut out all envy, pride, and malice. Make its threshold smooth enough to be no stumbling block to children, nor to straying feet, but strong enough to turn away the power of evil. God, make the door of this house the gateway to thine eternal kingdom. Grant this through Christ our Lord. Amen.